Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something pretty fascinating, the hidden language of design.
That's right. Think about any media product you see.
Yeah, like a logo's shape, the tone of an email you get, maybe even the fireworks at a concert.
Or just the colors on a website you visit.
Exactly. None of that is accidental, is it? They're very specific choices made by designers.
And they all trace back to one core thing.
Yeah.
The product's main purpose. What's it for?
So our mission today is to give you a kind of framework for analyzing this. We'll look at the three main goals a media product usually has.
And then we'll connect those goals to the actual design choices, the visuals, the structure, everything.
The idea is that by the end of this, you won't just see media. You'll be able to quickly figure out its underlying intention. You'll see the why behind the what.
That intentionality is absolutely key. When you interact with anything, a leaflet, an app, whatever, the design goal usually fits into one of three main categories.
Three buckets. Okay.
Yeah. And everything else, the style, the font choice, the sounds used, it's all tailored to hit that specific target.
Right.
So the first one, maybe the most straightforward, is to educate or inform.
Okay. Just giving information.
Exactly. It's the practical delivery of facts or data.
Mm-hmm.
Think about media that tells you what's going on or how to do something.
Like, the technical specs for a new phone on a website.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
Or a news report telling you about world events, even a textbook for students.
Or those instructional videos you sometimes get for a work training.
All about transferring specific practical knowledge, clear and direct.
Makes sense. Very clear cut, that one. You need info, the media gives it. Then the second goal, probably the one we engage with most in our downtime. To entertain.
Definitely a big one.
It seems obvious, right? It's why most films exist, TV dramas, sports, comedies.
Uh-huh.
But when we talk about design for entertainment, it's interesting to think about the sort of engineering behind maximizing that enjoyment.
It goes beyond just the story or the jokes.
Yeah, we're talking about the real technical stuff. Like in a big live concert,
yeah.
You've got audio technicians making it sound perfect.
Complex special effects, maybe pyrotechnics.
The lighting design, video screens.
All of that is layered design, and it's purely aimed at creating the biggest sensory impact, keeping you engaged, maximum enjoyment.
Right. So inform, educate, entertain. What's the third one?
The third purpose, and this one's often crucial commercially, is to influence.
Ah, okay. So not just telling or entertaining, but actually changing something.
Precisely. The goal here is to change your behavior or affect a choice you're about to make.
The most obvious example would be?
Advertising, of course. Commercials trying to influence what you buy. That's the classic case.
Sure.
But it's broader than that. Think about public information campaigns, like from government health departments.
The leaflets, posters, TV ads about health.
Exactly. They aim to change public behavior for health reasons. That's influence.
And online now.
Oh, absolutely. Influencers reviewing products, showing how they use them. They're aiming to sway your purchasing decisions, often by building a sense of trust or showing it in action.
Okay, so those are the three big goals. Educate, inform, entertain, and influence. Now, you said influence can be subtle. How does a designer actually take that goal and translate it into something concrete, like the colors they choose?
That's where we get into the design levers. And color is a fantastic place to start.
Why color first?
Because it's packed with immediate psychological and cultural meaning. It helps achieve the purpose really quickly.
Okay, like how?
Well, take red. Almost everywhere, it means stop, danger, maybe error.
Right. So on a website.
Perfect for showing a critical error message or a warning.
No.
It grabs attention instantly.
And colors can suggest feelings too, right? Like temperature.
Definitely. If you're designing something for, say, a fridge company.
You'd use blues. Cool colors.
Exactly. It gives that immediate feeling of crispness, coldness. But flip that if you're selling heating systems.
You'd go for oranges, reds, warmth, energy.
Precisely. Or maybe a high-end coffee machine. Same warm, energetic feel.
Interesting. What about other associations? Green.
Green's a busy one. It's strongly linked to nature, the environment.
And money, sometimes.
And money, yes. So if your purpose is to influence people towards buying an eco-friendly product.
Green is your go-to shorthand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It communicates that benefit almost instantly.
Okay, so color is one lever. What about the overall look and feel, the visual and audio style? That must play a huge role in hitting the right emotion.
A massive role. Yeah. And the source material had a really neat contrast here. It compared the visual style used to promote healthy eating versus fast food.
two very different goals driving the visual.
Totally different intentions, yeah. Look at the image for healthy eating, maybe in a magazine. It's often a very stylized photo.
What makes it stylized?
Maybe some nice berries, dried fruit for color and texture. Often you'll see props like a rustic wooden board.
Why the wooden board?
It signals authenticity, nature, maybe a certain kind of lifestyle. It's subtle. The purpose isn't just eat this now. It's encouraging a broader, maybe longer-term lifestyle idea.
Okay, so that's the healthy lifestyle approach. How does the fast food image differ? Its purpose is more immediate, right?
Right. It's about immediate influence, encouraging consumption now. So the style is different.
How so?
Often, the food item, let's say a burger, is shown really clearly, maybe isolated against a plain white background.
No rustic boards here.
No. It's about showing a perfectly made product. You can see every single component, clearly the lettuce, the cheese, the tomato. It's almost clinical in its clarity.
So one sells a lifestyle, kind of aspirational. The other sells efficiency, immediate satisfaction.
You've nailed it. Authenticity versus efficiency communicate purely through visual style choices.
And if the visuals are that deliberate, I'm guessing the language used has to be just as carefully chosen.
Absolutely. The level of formality in the language changes completely depending on the product and its purpose.
Give me an example.
Okay, think about a serious documentary. Its purpose is primarily to educate or inform.
So the language would be?
Formal. Precise. It needs to sound authoritative. Credible.
Right. But what about something purely for entertainment? Like a soap opera?
Then the language flips. It'll be informal. Maybe use slang. The key is making the dialogue feel real for those characters in that world.
So the language helps build believability in that context.
Exactly. The language itself becomes part of the entertainment.
Okay, so we've got color, visual style, language. These are elements within the product.
Yeah.
What about the overall structure and conventions? Does how things are arranged also follow rules based on purpose?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Media products rely heavily on conventions, the unspoken rules of how things are usually done. Audiences expect certain things.
If you break the conventions too much, people get confused.
Or they just won't engage. The purpose fails. A really good example of rigid conventions is Blu-ray disc packaging.
Okay, how so?
The main purpose of the box is to inform you about the movie or show inside, right?
Yeah, and maybe entice you a bit.
True. But the information part is key. And certain bits of info have to be in expected places. Think about the spine, the thin side you see on the shelf.
What do you expect to see there?
You expect the title. Usually top right or clearly visible, the Blu-ray logo itself, top or bottom. And often the age classification ratings like the BBFC rating in the UK or whatever standard locally.
So you can tell key info at a glance on the shelf.
Precisely. And the main cover follows conventions too. You expect the title again, big photos of actors or key scenes.
A short description, the plot summary.
Key actors and maybe the director listed. Technical details like runtime or audio formats.
And because it's always laid out roughly the same, you don't have to hunt for that info.
Exactly. The convention serves the informed purpose efficiently.
Does this apply to simpler things too? Like, say, a cereal box?
Even a small mini cereal box demonstrates this positioning of elements very clearly.
What's its purpose usually?
It's often dual. Inform you what's inside, obviously. Mm. But also entice, usually aimed at kids.
Okay, so how's the layout structured for that?
There's a deliberate visual hierarchy. The brand name or serial name is usually prominent, often top right.
And the enticing part.
The illustrated characters, the fun stuff, often gets placed over on the left. A nice photo of the cereal itself might be center right.
And the legally required stuff.
Nutritional information, that primary inform element, is typically anchored at the bottom. It's there, but maybe not the first thing your eye hits.
Right. The fun character catches the eye first.
Often, yes. The layout directs attention based on the dual purpose.
Sticking with cereal. Let's use that for our case study on adapting style for influence. You said the mini box informs and entices, but a big family-sized box on the supermarket shelf, its main job feels different.
It absolutely is. Its primary purpose elevates. It's now mainly about influence.
Influencing you to pick that box over all the competitors right next to it?
Exactly. And because the box is bigger, designers have more space, more real estate, to add elements purely designed to influence that choice.
So what changes might we see moving from a small informants box to a large influence box?
Well, first, brand recognition becomes even more critical. So the main brand logo, let's say Kellogg's, often gets bigger, more dominant, probably right at the top.
Making it instantly recognizable.
Yes. Then they'll likely add a catchy slogan. For Frosted Flakes, Maybe their GR REIT right there.
Creating that positive, memorable association.
Precisely. And here's where it gets clever. They often tweak the informational text to make it actively persuasive.
Ah, packaging the inform function inside the influence function. Like, how?
Instead of just listing ingredients neutrally, they might add text like made from real grain.
Framing it as a positive, healthy choice, even if it's a sugary cereal.
Exactly. It's using information selectively to influence perception. And they'll back that up visually.
Oh.
Maybe add a little illustration of wheat stalks and sunshine near the logo. Again, reinforcing that natural, healthy vibe to persuade the customer.
And maybe highlight other benefits.
Sure. They might add a symbol or text highlighting it's suitable for vegetarians, for example. Broadens the appeal, influences more potential buyers.
So every extra bit of text or image on that bigger box is really geared towards swaying that purchase decision.
Almost always, yes. It's about overriding competitors and getting you to choose their product.
This really drives home that absolutely no detail in media design is there by chance.
Not if it's well designed, no.
Yeah. So to kind of wrap up the main idea for you listening, understanding that core purpose, is it educate, inform? Is it entertain? Is it influence? That understanding is key.
It really is.
Because, as we've seen, that purpose dictates every single design choice that follows, from the colors they pick to the way the text is positioned on the page or package.
If you know the purpose, you basically know the designer's brief. You know what they were trying to achieve.
Right. You can see their priorities.
And maybe to tie this all together, think about something like a children's workbook.
Yeah.
What's its single overriding purpose?
To educate, clearly.
Right. And to achieve that specific purpose, effectively for that specific audience,
yeah.
Young children, look how the style is customized.
Okay.
The colors will likely be very bright. Why?
Because kids find bright colors appealing. It keeps them engaged.
Exactly. The language used has to be simple, right? Aimed at kids just learning to read and write.
Makes sense.
The illustrations will probably be simple, clear, maybe even a bit cartoonish, easy to understand. Elements might even be laid out symmetrically sometimes to help with early cognitive processing.
So every choice serves that educate goal for that young audience.
Perfectly. Which leads to a final thought, maybe a challenge for you, the listener.
Okay.
When you next look at any media product, an advert, a website, a poster, anything, can you try to instantly reverse engineer its primary purpose?
Just by looking at its style choices, the colors, the layout, the language.
Exactly. Ask yourself, is this mainly trying to educate me, entertain me, or influence me? And what's the single clearest design choice that gives away its real intention?
That's a great exercise, looking beyond the surface to see the underlying strategy.
Give it a try. You might be surprised how quickly you can decode the hidden messages once you know what to look for. Until next time, keep analyzing.